short listen to this piece of history.
A paradise of poor lighting and faux wood panels.
That's sexist!
Then take a unicycle down memory lane.
This is quality broadcasting right here.
Is this scripted? I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, the humanity.
David M. Green.
I'm your number one fan.
I'm your number one fan, David.
Yeah, whatever.
Using his sound engineering skills acquired through the long nights panelling brain damage.
Who is it?
His name is David M. Green, and he's in Australia, of all places. And he does a show called
David M. Green's Summer Powwow.
Well, that's what I thought. Okay.
Why don't we?
Yes, I'm listening.
Hello and welcome to Powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. I am David M. Green, powering the powwow this evening. And joining me tonight on this night show of ours, the man who puts the wow in powwow.
It wow.
is Nick Godfrey, that's him. And the man who puts the illusion in Nathan Sharrod. I suppose I could have said charade there. Oh, well, next time. It is Nathan Sharrod.
Hello.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Hi, ho.
Very good use of Peter Gurr's catchphrase there.
Yes.
How you doing, Nick?
Hey, I got a funny story for you, David.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you won't believe this story.
Sorry, would you mind? Sorry, this is the first talk break. Would you mind saving it to later on in the show?
Yeah,
sorry,
right.
This is just how I do the show. And it's a jam-packed show tonight because there's not even enough time to ask how you are. I shouldn't have said that. We have a jam-packed show. It's so packed full of jam. We got jam coming out the wazoo. Coming up in a moment, it's my interview with Radio's Richard Marsland. As well as a chemically induced radio play and obscure 80s new wave music. In between all that and more tonight on the show, I wanted to call David M. Green's Summer Powwow, but management wouldn't go for on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Powwow, the show Radio Adelaide management didn't want you to hear.
You might remember me from my hit radio show, Adam. Oh, by the way, I'm Adam, I'm the star of the show.
Well, Adam, I'm a radio aficionado, and there's nothing I like more than snuggling up with a loved one and listening to the cool, refreshing sounds of Adam on a hot summer's night.
That's enough coarse stylings, Michael Princey. Wait till you're introduced. Here's Michael Princey.
What I said before, Adam. Love the show. Adam. Adam?
And I love, too, snuggling up with you, listener. Not you, Michael, because you've gained a few pounds recently, and I only go for the skinny ones.
And you're a man!
Well, Michael, I've got a bit of an open mind about these things, you never know. Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm David M. Green. This is Powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Just earlier, we had Yazoo, or Yaz, if you're from America, with Goodbye 70s. Pronouncing the G like a G instead of a J. That would be incorrect. Nick Godfrey is here. Nick, welcome.
Hi-ho, David.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Hey. Get this.
Don't have time for it. And next to him is one of Powwow's favourite guests.
Nathan Sherrard.
That's me.
How are you doing, Nathan?
I'll be better tomorrow.
How's the family?
They're doing all right. Yeah, they're recovering.
All right then. Well, right now, you might remember him from AM Adelaide with Ann Wills on Channel 7, or as a background voice on the 90s SAFM breakfast show with Paul, Amanda and James. Oh, that's quite a long time ago. Or possibly from the Christian Brothers College graduating class of 1994. But most likely you'll know him as the guy pushing the buttons on Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli, or at least used to, which broadcast until recently on Triple M. Won't you now welcome, please, to Powwow on the telephone, comedian and writer, Mr. Richard Marsland.
How you doing?
I'm good. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on, David. And I think I did do some Radio Adelaide when I was a younger man back in the 1990s.
Oh, wow.
I think, I forget what it was, but it might have been something like...
Was it the movie
soundtrack show, something like that.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the Albanian show?
No. Although I have panelled some... I've panelled a Czech radio show, and I've panelled a Polish radio show, a Spanish-speaking radio show, so I've done it all. I can queue up records in all kinds of languages.
Well, would you feel more comfortable sitting at the panel here?
Well, I like sitting at the panel, but the thing is, the panel is such a distraction because you're monitoring the technical output of the show. So often you're talking and keeping an eye on levels at the same time, VU levels, and you have no idea what you're saying. You're just making sure that you're tickling the reds in the right fashion. you're getting very technical now.
Well, how did you come to find yourself the panel wizard on Triple M's Get This alongside Tony Martin and Ed Cavalier?
Panel wizarding is something that doesn't come easy. It was one of the first things I learned because when I started in community radio, and I'm not sure if it's a cardinal sin to mention the name of another community station on this one.
But you can talk about anything on this radio station.
Oh, great. Well, PBAFM, which is the community radio station, they do fantastic work in Salisbury in the northern suburbs of Adelaide, and that's where I started when I was about 15. And I just learned the panel. You had to do I think it was something like a 6 or 7 week course to learn the panel. And to be frank, that was possibly the best radio training I've had, in that it gave me the fundamentals to take to other panels, or to other radio panels, you know, all around the radio landscape, you know. And so I learned all the broad strokes of how to panel, and it was something that I could learn how to do, because what I wanted to do, it was a way of performing, of getting on air every day and doing something. And if I could learn how to panel, then that meant I didn't have to rely on someone else to come in and run a show for me. So that's when I learned when I was about 15, and then I just sort of stayed in radio ever since.
Did you get a call at some point when you were in Melbourne and say, "Hey, Tony Martin's doing a radio show, would you like to panel?"
Well, I had done a few things with Tony. I knew him a little bit from Boytown, and also I had interviewed him a few times. I used to do a show in Adelaide called AM Adelaide, which was with Ann Wills, and before that Sherilee Harris and Jan Beasley.
When exactly was that on? Because I don't recall watching it.
Well, it was on... not many people do recall watching it. They either watched it by accident. That was pretty much our demographic. It was when they tuned in from being sick or something like that. But it was on at... 11 o'clock in the morning, actually, on Channel 7, every day. It was a live... It was unique. It was a live local show that went for an hour. It was like... I guess it was infotainment. I mean, there was little live commercials in there, which I never did, but Ann Wills did, and she was great at them. But then I did the interviews with, you know, people organising fates and, theatre shows that would be on at the State Theatre and all those kinds of local... And you'd speak to, you know, newsmen like Mike Smithson and Graham Goodings from Channel 7. And so... And it was a... I've got to say, it was a great show. It's a shame it's no longer on, because we had a lot of young South Australian performers on there, and it seems that, you know, that's missing, and there's no real, forum where young performers or, you know, local performers can come on and spruik their wares, so, or, you know, local artists as well. I'm getting distracted, but that's, so I did a bit of that, and so that's where I knew Tony, and I knew him a little bit, you know, here and there, through Mick Molloy's radio show as well, and socially I knew him. So, and then I was doing a radio show that got axed, and it was just a weird timing thing where he said, "Do you want to come over and do our show?" Because he knew I was a bit of a writer and I was a comedian and I was doing radio, so he thought I would be a perfect fit. And I just came over and started doing the show.
Wow.
That's a really long, long way to explain it. And I'm sorry about the, digressing into the worth of AM Adelaide, but I'm sorry, I feel passionate about local television.
Oh, that's all right. I wish it was on. I wish I knew about it when it was on.
Well, I'm gathering you might have been... Now, do you mind if I ask how old a gentleman you are?
I'm 20.
20, so you might have been at school then.
How old are you?
Well, see, I'm 30.
30?
And,
Because I always thought... I always just assumed, just judging by your voice, that you were about 40. I mean, no offence there.
Is that right?
Yeah, I always thought you were a lot older than you actually are.
Well, yeah, I think, like, you know, I definitely will slip into old age very easily. my taste lies. I often get along with old people very well because, I'm against change in any sort.
And you worked at community radio.
Yeah, that's right, in community radio, exactly. So... And also, I worked on AM Adelaide, so I know how to speak to the older stay-at-home viewer. So maybe that's why I sound older than what I am.
Anything with AM in it, I think.
Exactly.
Just attracts geriatrics.
It's true. It's true. But I'm not sure what the question was there. But,
I've forgotten.
but yeah, you might have been at school. I'm thinking that, because this would have been about 4 or 5 years ago, possibly, maybe even six. Maybe, yeah, 4 or 5. But, yeah, so that was would have been, like, you know, it was a lot of our viewers were university students and older people, shift workers, and mature ladies of the mature set.
Okay. Yeah, I probably would have been in school then. And I didn't miss a day of school between years 9 and 12.
Is that serious? Yeah. Are you serious about that?
Yep. I missed one day of school in year 8, and that was the last day of school I missed.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's an amazing feat.
But it helps that my mum's a doctor, so I couldn't really fake an illness very easily.
But sure, you knew where the wad of doctor certificates were stashed.
I always had access to them, but I never needed them.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, maybe we can have a chat later. You can get me some prescriptions filled.
I can get anything you need. I've got a listener email here. Well, more of a listener MySpace comment. From a girl named Ace, who you might be familiar with?
Possibly.
And this is strange, because I've never got any emails before, and as soon as you come on the program, they just flood in.
Oh, that's lovely to hear.
But she wanted me to pass this on to you, and I quote, "The guys from Get This didn't turn me off men, and I'm not a lesbian. On one of the episodes of Get This, they read out a letter I wrote to them about meeting my best friend through Ed Cavalier's MySpace page."
Yes, I know the letter.
"And they all made out that it was a lesbian relationship, which it most certainly is not. Just because men aren't interested in me doesn't mean I'm not interested in them. It doesn't bother me as much, but my friend Hosanna was gutted that the love of her life, Ed, thought she was into girls."
Wow, that's amazing, because I do remember the letter that Tony read out, and we were quite impressed that our show had brought people together, and indeed the theory was perhaps that we had put women off to the point where, you know, off the male gender, that perhaps they'd have to start looking at their own. But I'm sorry about that. We should have to do a "We Were Wrong," an editor's apology. That's very embarrassing. Well, if you could please pass our apologies on to her. I mean, that's I've been accused of being a lesbian before. It's not pretty.
Right. I'll post a comment on her MySpace page. But she was actually, because she's such an obsessed fan, she was actually quite a good wealth of knowledge. She passed on this question to ask you as well.
Yes?
She informs me that, in a separate MySpace comment, that the ABC apparently wants to pick up a Get This style show, and Tony said he'd be willing to relocate to Sydney to do it as long as you and Ed went with him. Is that correct?
There's a few rumours doing the rounds about the show, and I'm not sure. I, to be frank, I don't know. I mean, I can understand where some of them get started, and we are keen to keep on doing Get This, whether it's on radio or whether it's on TV, and I think we've had a few nibbles in that regard, but nothing concrete yet, unfortunately. So I've got nothing necessarily to report, but you know, it would be great to continue working with Tony and Ed, and I think we all, you know, because we all genuinely liked each other and we all really enjoyed working together, and we sort of found a chemistry there, which is really difficult to find, you know. Like, it's hard because often with radio they tend to throw groups together and you don't know these people and you sort of find out about them on the air, and that's great, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily equal chemistry, whereas with our show, hopefully it did. I feel that it did.
Now, I must say, it was certainly my favourite radio show I've ever heard.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
You. It's definitely the favourite that I've worked on. Well, that's great to hear. As much as we like to hear that people like the show, it's also, like, surprising sometimes, because there's really strange things that you'll do, that you'll plan and write and organise for the show, that, you know, they do okay, but don't necessarily get any sort of momentum behind them. But then you'll do something accidental, like, I'll sing the Vingabus song. And then, for some reason, that that becomes the big, you know, and that's not planned or anything. That's just something that happens. So it just shows to show you that, you know, it doesn't matter how much planning you do and how much organisation you do for a show, sometimes often the things that they like best are things that sort of arise. I'll use a word that wankers like to use, which is organically. and, you know, it's something that sort of comes accidentally almost. But I'm not sure what's going on with Get This. I have been in contact with Tony, although we're in the Christmas New Year's holiday period currently. So
when this was recorded, anyway.
When this was recorded, back when Elvis was alive and when Ribena was still good for you. That's what I've heard.
When they still advertised it with 4 times the vitamin C.
That's right. That's right. Bindi's beads are still fine. Any toy imported from China, keep on playing with it. Back when this was recorded, but I'm not sure. But I mean, hopefully we're going to be doing something else together, which is nice. So that would be, and we'll make sure we'll keep everyone posted as to what that would be. The TV version would be good. I mean, it would be great. We've always said, Tony's always said that it's the most visual show on radio, you know?
Yeah.
You do things that would lend itself so much to television.
Who are your influences?
My influences? Well, Grateful Dead, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Are you talking about comedy influences? I would say, I don't know. I've got to say I always have like a top five that I come back to time and time again. And that is like, you know, my all-time favourite. And like the two Martins, I would definitely have Tony Martin in there. This is not in any order, by the way, but I would definitely have Tony Martin in there in that for almost 20 years I've watched Tony do stuff, you know, ever since I was a kid.
Did you say the two Martins?
The two Martins, so I'll tell you who they are.
It's not like Ray
Tony.
Martin.
And so, but Tony's always, like, he's always cracked me up, and that's been almost for 20 years, and so I've got to say that's, you know, like whether it's radio or TV or just his stand-up. And his writing as well, like his book's hilarious. I'd find him just a very fertile comic mind, and I think he's just great. And then Steve Martin as well. Not his early stand-up and what have you. I'm talking about his last three films. No, I'm just kidding around. No, I'm not sure where he's... I mean, I like Steve Martin, but he's just doing some weird films currently. But he's just released a book, actually, Steve Martin, about his stand-up career, which is a really good read. I think it's called Born Standing Up, but I read it in, like, it took me a day to read. It was just fantastic. I'm a big fan of Steve Martin's early stand-up, if you can find any of those on CD or, you know, records, which some of them are only available on LP, but... and then his early movies, pretty much up until... See, I reckon his best movies are, like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and Parenthood's really good, The Jerk, Man with Two Brains. So he was really... I really love Steve Martin. Bill Hicks is another one that I really love. It's amazing how relevant his stuff is, even though he's dead now. He died back in the 90s, but all his material was about the first President Bush and about the Gulf War. Not all of his material, but a lot, and you know, and a lot of it's still relevant. Bill Hicks is fantastic. Monty Python, I mean, all the predictable ones, but and definitely and absolutely Woody Allen. Like I love Woody Allen. I still go and see all his films whenever he releases one. So I. You know, Woody Allen, to me, like all his stand-up and his films, like Love and Death, Manhattan, Annie Hall, they're really funny. I don't think you can go past Woody Allen, really.
His stand-up was very much, it wasn't like just sort of telling a lot of jokes, it was more like telling long stories.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's amazing. Like, and that's it almost seemed to be the style of the time. Like, you listen to a Bill Cosby album now, and even like when you watch some of the old Paul Hogan episodes that have been released on DVD, just the pace. Comedy was much slower. It was much more leisurely pace. And I was watching a Paul Hogan DVD the other day, and he sits there and just talks to the camera for about 7 minutes, where it's just like this long, and even some episodes of The Two Ronnies have this, where, you know, Roddy Corbett just speaks to the camera for about 10 minutes, and just this relaxation and just enjoying the words and the turns of phrases and finding little details in the story. It doesn't seem necessarily that we have as much time to hear all that anymore. And yeah, and a lot of Woody Allen's things, even though you can isolate a lot of the lines as one-liners, but a lot of them are stories, you know. So Woody Allen, definitely. And then obviously you know I enjoy all the Christopher Guest, the Spinal Taps, and D-Generation for me when I was younger were a big influence in terms of like just seeing that Australians could do comedy when I was a kid. I mean, for me, when I was watching them as a kid, you know, it was just great to see shows with an Australian sense of humour and that kind of thing, and the Comedy Company as well, which is, you know, like a lot of it possibly doesn't hold up now when you watch it, but still some really good performers and some great writing. I mean, Glenn Robbins was on there, Tim Smith. Pretty predictable influences, I'm sorry to say. Nothing really crazy. I'm sure I'll remember some as soon as I hang up.
Oh, is it true? And I may have been lied to by my good friend Michael Princey.
Yes.
I've heard his
word is dubious.
Oh, yeah. But he informs me that back in 1993, you drove from Adelaide to Melbourne to see the last episode of The Late Show on the ABC. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not sure where... Did he must have...
He didn't reference it. It was like a Wikipedia article.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know what's going on at Wikipedia, by the way, but I might have said that actually on the radio show at some stage. And that's true. No, that absolutely is true. I went with, actually, we didn't drive, we caught the bus.
All right.
Went with my best friend, and we, I regret to say that we wagged a day off school to get there by the Saturday, but we went and saw the last episode of the first year of The Late Show.
Oh, the first year.
Big fans. And
because I was going to say, on the Best Bits that was released on DVD, I think the last episode there, they were showing shots of the crowd for quite a long time. They were doing a Don Lane-style zoom into the crowd.
Oh, right. And you think I might be in there somewhere?
I think that was the last ever episode, so not of the first season.
Yeah, that's right. That was the last ever episode. The last ever episode was... I can tell you some of the sketches, because I actually... there was one called Santo the Magnificent.
Oh, that one.
All right. I saw that, and I actually have the script for that, because they left a script lying around.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so I ended up, that's like one of my little comedy souvenirs that I got. And so for me, that was like, you know, wow, this is how a comedy script looks. And, you know, I was 16 years of age or however old I was, 17. And yeah, just looking at a comedy script and, you know, this is how the professionals do it. So, yeah, I was a big, big fan. And still am, you know, they're still doing fantastic stuff, all those guys.
Did you once have long hair?
Yeah, I did, actually. Where did you hear that?
Because an old photo on the Get This website had Tony and Ed and a woman who I presume was Nikki Hamilton, who's your producer.
Oh, that's right.
And then this guy with long hair with his eyes closed.
Oh, okay. No, that actually is. That is Matt Dower, actually.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Are you talking about the big group shot of everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was taken before I joined the show, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so that is Matt Dower, who is our production guy.
So he does all your sketches and...
Yeah, he pieces together all the sketches and, yeah, he's an amazing... That's what you need when you're doing radio comedies. You need someone incredible in production. And luckily we had that hopefully maybe one day still might have it, like Matt Dower in production. And same with when I was at SAFM as well. We had some fantastic guys in production. And you always need... They are as much a part of it as anyone on air or anyone writing it, you know, in terms of radio comedy, because they bring it all to life, you know. So we had fantastic guys at SAFM, like a guy called Noel Threlfelton, Shane Rogers, Tim Ford. If you can ever work with those three guys, really terrific fun, and Eddie Bye. I'll just drop some names. But they have their own sense of humour, which they bring to it. And often there's guys who, like in production, who or in comedy, in radio comedy, they'll write a script, and they'll take the script in, and they'll oversee absolutely everything, and they'll make sure, you know, and I used to do that, but then, like, make sure that everything was done exactly as the way I said. But then, after a while, I like to give it to them for a while just to see what else they came up with, or, you know, giving it their own sort of flair, you know, because they have to inject their own creativity into it, and if I'm standing over their shoulder the entire time, I just feel like maybe I'm bullying them too much.
Yeah. It would take an incredibly long time, I know from experience, editing stuff, particularly when you're editing together fake interviews and that sort of thing. It takes like 5 hours.
Yeah, it's a long... Yeah, it is. That's a long process. And with the editing of the fake interviews, that's something you almost have to teach yourself, you know? It's like you transcribe exactly what everyone says, and then you sit there with a highlighting pen saying what would sound real, what would say, you know, where are the funny answers, and yeah, but that is part of the fun.
I remember you guys used to do do heaps with John Howard. He did one in particular was really, really funny. I don't think it's ever been bettered.
That's a brilliant one. Like, Tony really is the master of those. You know, he's got the high watermark going there. Which one were you thinking?
I can't... Oh, you were talking about his testicles or something?
Yeah.
that might not narrow it down.
It doesn't sound like it has. But there's one where he's doing some hardcore hip-hop. Another one... There's one in particular that I enjoyed with Kim Beazley, which was something to do with a stapler, which is pretty blue. And there was another one with John Howard... Where he was giving Tony some comedy advice, which is really fantastic, which is a really funny one, which I really enjoyed. Yeah, that was great. So I think they're all still actually up on the website until December 31, so race there now and check it out. They're probably still on the podcast, though.
Oh, yeah. Will they still be up there?
I don't know how that's working exactly. I don't know.
Hopefully someone will put them all up in a torrent somewhere illegally.
Well, that's the funny thing is that all the podcasts are up, and, you know, we usually do pretty okay. We're usually consistently in the top 15 of those the podcast charts. Keep on being beaten by those Happy Tree Friends, curse them. I have no idea what they are, but they sound evil. But then, of course, that doesn't count the illegal torrents and the mirror sites and stuff that people build, so we have no idea exactly what the figure is on the podcast.
But they're out there.
They're out there, exactly. That's right. They're being heard. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
No, it's good. And if we can just change one life, well, then we've done our job properly. Or possibly not.
Yes, Richard Marsden speaking to us here on Powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. That interview will, of course, continue a little later in the show. But up next is a radio play just given to us to play on the radio. Yeah? See? See what I'm doing there? The name of which is Chemistry Detectives, Episode 3. I haven't heard it, but I'm sure it's okay. But right now, it's Kraftwerk. I am David M. Green with Nick Godfrey and...
Nathan Sherrard.
We will be right back. You're listening to Powwow.
Ow.
Now with even less censorship. That ought to teach that program director. Bow Wow.
Hello again. Again. I'm Professor Theodore Dyson. In response to the recent declining grades in high school chemistry, the Royal Australian Chemistry Institute proudly presents Chemistry Detectives, a hip, cool, and happening radio play that will promote a greater awareness of chemistry and other chemistry-related fields. Oh, yes, and due to the recent declining grades in high school physics, the Australian Institute of Physics has insisted in tacking onto my idea, which is why we're also including physics references as well as chemistry references in Chemistry Detectives. Just a reminder, every time a chemistry reference is made, you'll hear this sound. And every time a physics reference is made, you'll hear this less prestigious sound. It's a little confusing, I know, but it's out of my control. And now, Chemistry Detectives.
Previously on Chemistry Detectives.
There's been a break-in at the Mercury Cinema.
I'm not Frank, I'm Nick.
Of course, you're Nick L. Where was I?
Hey, Neon. Who are they?
I don't know.
Chief?
Hey!
We're Physics PH. But we're both after the same guy. The guy who murdered that Mercury Cinema projectile.
Projectionist, idiot!
Detective Neon.
Yeah?
What if I were to tell you that I was attracted to you? Chemistry is just dirty physics. And I like it dirty.
Oh. Where's Detective Nick L? He's dropped his wallet.
Nick L's not assigned to this investigation.
What's this? A ticket stub for Knocked Up at the Mercury Cinema?
Oh my God!
The mole! The Mercury murder! It's Nick!
And now, Chemistry Detectives.
Ah, it was just another day at the lab.
Wait, what am I talking about?
We were racing back to the lab to arrest Detective Nick L. Not only was it he who killed the Mercury Cinema projectionist, but he was also the mole, alongside myself and the other chemistry detectives. Detective Jonathan Astatine.
Hey, Neon, who are you talking to?
Quiet, I'm dictating. And the chief.
Damn it, Neon! We've got to arrest Nick before he kills again!
We were also joined, unfortunately, by Physics PI.
That's PH.
Oh, right. Sorry. Consisting of Agent Henry Jules and his partner, professional partner, that is, Violet.
That's Agent Violet to you.
What? No, Agent Orange?
That guy, he was banned 35 years ago.
Why's that?
He was too deadly.
Quite.
Come on, everybody! Arm your weapons!
Detective Nick L, we know it's you who is the mole. We have one of the 11 entrances in this building completely covered. Resistance is useless. Give yourself up now, and you might escape with life. In prison.
Are you sure he's in there?
Of course I'm.
Of course I'm sure. I've had it up to here with you physics people.
Can't you see this is clearly our jurisdiction?
Damn it! Come on!
Why is that?
Everybody, we've got our jurisdiction.
Hang on.
Who are you talking to?
I've got no idea.
I've had up to here with you physics people.
The eastern part of Australia was first claimed by the British in 1770.
Who the hell are you?
What do you mean?
Hello. Professor Theodore Dyson here again. Apparently, chemistry detectives has proven so popular, we now have to accommodate compulsory Year 11 Australian studies as well, in addition to chemistry and physics. Oh, for God's sake. So every time a reference to Australian studies is made, you'll hear this sound. And now, oh God, back to chemistry detectives.
Just ignore him, Neon.
What are we even supposed to be doing?
We're trying to capture Detective Nick L for the Mercury murder.
Oh yeah, of course. okay, how about this? Agent Jules, you and Astatine, you go around the back entrance through the parking garage.
Gotcha.
Chief, you stay here and guard the front entrance, and me and Agent Violet will go to the...
Indigenous Australians were only officially recognised as citizens after a referendum in 1967.
I'm sorry, I've completely lost my train of thought.
You had the right idea, Neon. If we all split up and close in on Nick's office, we'll be...
The Australian Senate consists of 12 representatives from each state and 2 from each territory, all of whom are elected for 6-year terms.
God, this guy is so annoying!
Yeah, I can't concentrate with these constant irrelevant facts I'm never going to need to know.
Hang on, I've got an idea. Chief, hand me that megaphone.
What, am I just invisible, am I?
Okay, but don't breath on it. Breathe on it. I've got a bit of a thing about slag.
Hey, Australian studies guy, speak into this.
Australia has a total of 34,218 kilometres of coastline.
Ah, no!
Hey, try that again.
Australia's first Prime Minister was Edmund Barton.
Oh, God!
Australia has been the host of the Commonwealth Games in 1938, 62, 82, and 2006.
I can't take it anymore. Okay, I turn myself in. It was me. I'm the mole that killed the Mercury Cinema projectionist. I hated that movie Knocked Up so much. Just stop with all the irrelevant Australian studies.
I've got a clear shot, Chief. Want me to take him out?
Do it!
The Murray-Darling River system supplies all...
There. That's for trying to teach a subject nobody wants to know about. Oh, yeah. And Detective Nickel, you're under arrest for murder or something.
Yeah, and I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling natural scientists.
Yeah, that's what they all say. They all say that. What you just said. That's what they all say. And thus, another job well done by the...
Chemistry Detectives.
And thus concludes Chemistry Detectives. I hope you've learnt something today about chemistry, and to a lesser extent, physics and Australian studies. I'm Professor Theodore Dyson from the Royal Australian Chemistry Institute. Good night.
An Australian Studies Initiative.
You bastard! Ah!
Hi, I'm David M. Green. This is Pow Wow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM.
Pow, right in the kisser.
Wow.
I do apologize. Just earlier there, we had Chemistry Detectives 3. And before that, Kraftwerk with Dentaku from their 1981 album Computer World. With me is Nick Godfrey.
David!
Thank you, Nick. How you doing?
Hi.
That's good that you're still here. And Nathan Sherrod.
David!
Thanks. Thanks, David. All right. Well, but right now on Pow Wow, the rest of my interview with radio and television comedian, presenter, and... Sorry, Nick.
I've got a story, David.
No,
you got to hear this story.
Do you mind if we...
I was in the library last week.
Do you mind if we just leave it till the next talk break? Sorry, it's a long interview.
Are you going to get to tell it?
We're running out of time here.
But really?
Yeah, if we have time left. Right?
This story is funnier than your stupid interview.
I'm sorry.
Your stupid interview.
All right, well, if it's that funny, all right, in the final talk break, if there is enough time, I'll let you
say. The audience can make up their own minds.
All right, but right now, on Pow Wow, the rest of my interview with radio and television comedian, presenter and writer, Mr. Richard Marsland.
Well, you write for Rove on Channel 10 and for Newstopia on SBS.
Yeah, that's right.
Are they both returning in 2008?
Well, Newstopia is returning. I saw it in the paper the other day, actually, so I can say that it is. So that's good news. Because I would have to say it was my favourite comedy TV show of last year. I thought that was... I mean, as my, you know, I know that sounds crazy because I was writing on it, but, I mean, just as a McCullough fan watching it, it was really, really... I mean, I really enjoyed it as well. I just thought it was... really dense. There was so much in it. There was jokes for everyone. It rewarded repeated viewings.
Mm.
Yeah, it was really a fantastic show.
It was well put together. I especially liked the Map of Australia desk.
Yes, that was a masterstroke as well.
Was that your idea?
No, that wasn't, unfortunately.
Oh, right.
No, it wasn't. No, but I would like to have come up with the Tasmania desk, which is where he puts his water.
Oh, well, here's an idea you can use.
Yeah.
You can have a side table that's shaped like New Zealand,
uh-huh.
And it's just way off camera.
It's a good idea. It's where the weather should be done from.
Yeah.
It's from New Zealand. It's very cloudy all the time. But, yeah, no, that wasn't my... I know, I saw that Map of Australia and thought, well, you know, like, you get those early indicators of TV shows that you're watching and think whether or not... It's almost like a whether or not you can pick it immediately as to whether you'll like it. And, yeah, as soon as I saw the Map of Australia table, I thought, wow, this is really... It's just a simple thing, but it's really clever, you know? It just shows that... taking great, you know, there's jokes even in the set, you know.
I remember hearing somewhere, it was probably on Get This, that you're a Devo fan.
Or
were you just being ironic?
No, I like Devo a lot, but I'm not as huge a fan, I think, as Tony.
Oh, Tony's a fan, okay.
Devo fan.
So I'm a huge fan.
Really?
I had a quest last summer to try to play every single Devo song with the exception of Whip It.
Really?
Because, you know, that's already played enough on radio.
That's right, it's Whip It and Girl You Want, they're the ones that they play all the time, isn't it?
Yeah. Not even Girl You Want. It's always Whip It.
That's true. And so what did you do? You did Gates of Steel, you did Freedom of Choice.
Oh,
that's Pep. did you do their new stuff, like from the Supercop soundtrack, Head Like a Hole?
No, not the Supercop. I played something from all of their albums, all nine of their albums. I thought their latest one was in 1989.
Well, I guess that's probably true, but they did do it. They would pop up now and again for, you know, for soundtracks. And they did do a good song, and you know how... You know, they've always done good covers of other people's songs, you know, like Satisfaction and...
yeah.
Was it like working in a coal mine? And But the they did that really good cover of the Nine Inch Nails song, Head Like a Hole. And I'm not sure if it was just Mark Mothersbaugh saying he was Devo, you know, just using the name. But it's a really good version. It's on the... you can probably find it on the...
it's on my...
iPod or on
it's on my computer. I don't think I've listened to it yet, though. There's
right.
So many.
Yeah. But that's a great... I love that. I love that idea. You guys playing every Devo song except for Whip It.
Yeah, the only problem was the amount of airtime that we had was less than the total, was less than required. Even if we played Total Devo, ironically that's the name of one of their albums,
yeah.
for like the whole hour for 13 weeks, I still think there wouldn't be enough time to play all of them.
Did you, you didn't screw it up and play any ill Devo, did you?
Oh, I've always wanted to do a sketch mashing those up, but I don't have the technical musical knowledge to work out how to do it.
One day you will.
Yeah.
I can see it in the tea leaf.
Or you'll take my idea. Feel free to use that, by the way.
Exactly. Exactly. You'll never be heard from again.
Well, do you watch as much television as you write? Actually, presumably watch considerably more.
I watch heaps of TV. I've always been a massive TV fan. That's all I ever did as a kid, as a matter of fact. I grew up on a farm. So, like, and it was good. It was great fun. You know, you could always make your own fun on a farm. But it also has the downfall of, you know, your friends don't live nearby. So there was always the TV. And that's all I did. Yeah, I watched. I was a real TV junkie as a kid. And just watched everything. Everything. Stuff that people think is bad, I really enjoy. Like the Brady Bunch, I still watch, and I still, I can find enjoyment in that. And, you know, like, so I would always watch the TV. And I think you'll find a lot of people in comedy are from rural areas or have grown up on farms. That has happened a lot, actually. There's a lot of comedians, and I think it's that thing of, you know, you make your own fun and you find something that you enjoy on the TV and you wonder how they do that, you know. And comedy is always a very attractive thing to get into, especially if you're on living in an isolated area. I mean, you look at the comedians in Australia, a lot of them from the country, you know. Got Limo, Tom Gleeson,
Fiona O'Loughlin.
Fiona O'Loughlin, Corinne Grant, you know, there's a lot of people. And I'm not sure why that is. I'm trying to work out why that is. But there's always that constant fight about Sydney or Melbourne being the comedy capital. And I'm not sure if that's even the argument. I think it should be, what is it about the country that's breeding all these comedians?
Maybe it's the asbestos.
Possibly. It's the hayseeds in the ears. It's something to do with, I don't know what it is. Yeah, exactly.
Are you watching any obscure TV shows at the moment?
What am I watching at the moment? That's a good question. Because I haven't been watching much obscure stuff, but, you know, I always come back to Arrested Development. I always enjoy watching that. That's just a top show. I like the fact that TV is getting faster, you know, and I like the fact that TV has really picked up the pace. Because if you watch, I really enjoy a lot of the old sitcoms. Like, I really enjoy the Mary Tyler Moore Show. That, for me, look, you know, I watch that, and it's still a really funny show, brilliantly acted. And it's an old-fashioned three-camera mid-shot, you know, live audience sitcom, but it works, you know. And I'm quite excited to see what the next big sitcom will be, because there's this mockumentary craze and there's this, you know, there's this single camera sort of fascination at the moment where they, you know, no laugh track and no theme song and no, and just one camera, and it's, you know, filmed on film, and, you know, like Arrested Development or The Office or, you know, Extras and what have you. And they're great. And, I love that style personally. But I would be interested to see who's going to go back to the earlier trend and bring back, you know, a sitcom like Seinfeld, which was really fantastic and really brilliant. But, you know, in the old-fashioned style, that's what I'm very interested to see. I was getting there with the IT Crowd recently.
Oh, that, yeah.
Like an old-fashioned sort of sitcom. And although, you know, really brilliant writing, but it was done like an old and that was successful, but I wonder what the next big one. I'm trying to think what I'm watching that's obscure, though. I've avoided the question pretty well.
I think you could probably say that Arrested Development was obscure, because still a lot of people haven't seen it.
No one watches it, do they?
Or they try to watch it, and they don't watch it from the start, and they just don't understand it.
Exactly. I know, and it's one of those weird things where, and now and again, because you watch so much comedy, or because you're writing it and you're always around it, I now and again will take a break from it, you know, because I don't want to be... you just don't want to be subconsciously influenced by these shows that you're watching as much as you're a fan. You just don't want to... I always get concerned about coming up with an idea 6 months later and then forgetting that I've seen it somewhere else, you know? I'm always paranoid about that. So I don't always watch heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of comedy. I'll watch a bit of drama as well. I love The Sopranos. I love The Wire. That's a really good show, which you can get on DVD. But also, I picked up the entire series of The West Wing. Rather a bit too cheaply, like for $80, like all six, well, you know, six of the seasons anyway. Oh. And for me, that was good value. And so I got that, and I was just, because I watched the occasional episode when it was on TV, and a lot of it's, you know, sometimes it's a bit too cute, and everything's a bit too perfect, but it's a really, I mean, it's an incredibly written show. You know, even coming from a comedy writer's perspective, you watch it, and there's just so much knowledge and erudition, and a genuine attitude coming through that show. I, you know, and the performances are great. But there's a definite style too when you watch Aaron Sorkin's stuff. You know, it's all that walk and talk dialogue. You know, I think you know, once again to quote Tony, but he has that great example where, you know, the characters are quoting reams and reams of dialogue about the economy in The West Wing, and then they'll finish off with, by the way, you know, is your son doing his maths homework now? You know, they'll always at the end of a big philosophical discussion, they'll always have something really human at the end of it, which is like seems to be Aaron Sorkin's style. So if you watch that, keep an eye out for that. But no, so I'm a big fan of The West Wing. I don't know, that seems to be my favourite thing at the moment that I'm watching.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does the future hold for Richard Marsden? Have you got any projects in the pipeline?
Well, I have to talk about myself more in the third person. You've just reminded me.
Yeah, you're like Elmo.
Exactly, yeah. Why is that? He seems like such an insecure little animal, but yet speaks in himself speaks about himself in the third person, which I believe Julius Caesar also did.
I'm guessing Elmo, because he's only 3.5, hasn't reached Piaget's concrete stage. this is a reference to my behavioural science degree, but okay. Please, go on.
No, I'm always up for some behavioural science. You've probably got a couple of things to say about me now. I love writing. Hopefully I'll continue to be writing. I mean, I'm writing for Rove and for Newstopia, and I'm a big fan of Rove and also of Sean McAuliffe. And Sean McAuliffe as well, especially because he's from Adelaide as well, and he's such a fantastic writer and a fantastic performer and a fantastic comedian, but he's from Adelaide, you know, and there aren't many who... There are a few, but not as many as, like, from Sydney or from Melbourne who are, you know, nationally successful. So that's, you know... So part of me, that's a personal little thing about Sean. I think it's great that he's an Adelaidean who's doing so well. So hopefully some more writing for those guys. I mean, I enjoyed... I think Rove had a really good year in 2007. I think it was a really good show. And hopefully I'll still write for that and for Newstopia. I don't know. I'd like to continue working with the Get This team if they'll have me. Whether or not that's in radio, whether or not it's in TV, I'm not sure. I mean, whatever the rumours suggest, and if it doesn't end up working out, I'll just go back to what I used to do, which is working at the car park booth there at the Paraka flea markets. So I'll probably see you around then. Not that that isn't, you know, I really enjoy doing that, but and I'll gladly go back to it.
Do they have fleas there?
No fleas at the market. No, it's a common myth. It's a common myth. But lots of fruit and veg.
Oh, okay. By the way, back to that email, that MySpace comment that I got from that girl Ace.
Yeah.
She wanted to let you know that as an added incentive, if you move to Sydney, she'll cook for you.
Is that right?
Yeah, and apparently she's quite good. So,
really?
Yeah. Just take that on board, perhaps.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank you. Got it.
What school did you go to in Adelaide?
I went to Christian Brothers College.
CBC.
CBC.
Wow, that's where Michael Princey went.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He
was the school captain in 2001.
Geez, he did well for himself.
Yeah.
I went there. I went to CBC in Wakefield Street. Great school, actually, and it's changed a lot since I left. They added a lot to it. They've, you know, got tennis courts on the roof and...
Plumbing.
Plumbing is a big plus. They got a pool. It's fantastic. They had none of that stuff when I was there.
When did you graduate?
It would have been 94.
Oh, okay.
I think it was 94.
Did you go to university as well?
Yeah, I did. I went to Uni of SA, McGill campus, actually.
All right.
And I studied journalism, actually, at a university.
That's still the only campus in South Australia that does journalism.
I know. And it's a really highly regarded course, actually, that one. I didn't realise until I sort of moved interstate that, a lot of people move to South Australia to do that course, and it's a great one as well. We had really good lecturers, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot of just good writing habits. Even though I didn't pursue a career in journalism, you learn good writing skills, which I took with me, and a few good presentation ideas there too as well, with the TV part and the radio part. I had a few classmates as well who went on to success. It's interesting coming back to Adelaide and seeing, in fact, Rosanna Mandurelli, who's the host of Today Tonight on Channel 7.
Yeah.
She was in my course.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to come back and see her doing that. Yeah, fantastic.
Who's laughing now?
Exactly.
Did you, because I think the journalism students from Uni SA read the news here on Radio Adelaide. Did you ever do that?
Yes, well, no, I didn't, but I had a few friends who did. Yeah, I didn't, because I was doing all my community radio at PBFM. So I'd done quite a bit of news. I did everything at PBFM. I wrote news, read news, presented shifts, panelled, did a bit of production.
I heard, and this is once again from Michael Princey, so it might not be accurate, but so far so good, I've noticed. He said one time you fell asleep under the panel or something.
That's true. I did fall asleep underneath the panel.
How did that happen?
Well, it was one of those things where I was working a night shift before I had to do a breakfast show at PBA FM. And I did the night shift, and the shift wasn't... The breakfast shift that I was to present didn't start till 7. So I got there at 6 after work, and so I'll just have a little nap underneath the panel. It was the only place really in the station that you could. There was no couches or anything like that. I thought I'd set a wake-up call, you know, for 10 to 7. Actually, perfect crime, that's okay, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I set up, but obviously the wake-up call went through to the answering machine of the station. I missed it, and then...
Well, you get it later.
Yes, woke up, a good 45 minutes late for the breakfast show, but luckily, it wasn't a long drive in because I was sleeping directly underneath the panel. So I hit the snooze button, and luckily that was the news theme, and away we went.
Wow.
It's not a great story. Like, you know, that's you know, you work in radio long enough, David, you'll have stories like these.
Well, I've yet to sleep at the radio station.
Don't worry, I'm sure it's coming.
Great.
It'll happen.
Well, thanks very much for joining. Oh, can I end the interview like Kerry O'Brien?
Please do.
Richard Marsden, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kerry.
Richard Marsden. What a guy. If you go to www.davidmgreen.com, the full-length interview featuring an additional 12 minutes of Richard and I crapping on will shortly be available on the interviews page, as well as the podcast of tonight's show around about Thursday afternoon. So I don't know what, about 15 hours from now it should be up there. That is davidmgreen.com, not davidgreen.com. You don't want to go there. This is, of course, Powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Why not become a subscriber to Radio Adelaide for only $52 or $26 concession for 1 year? Just call us on 8303-5000 or drop by the station at 228 North Terrace during business hours and support community radio. Keep shows like this one from almost not being approved due to philosophical differences between myself and the anti-comedy crusaders in the program. However, that's a separate issue, so I'm not going to get into that. I would, however, like to thank my guest for this evening, Mr. Nathan Sherrod.
Thank you for thanking me.
Thank you very much for saying thank you to that. And
David!
Nick Godfrey. Thank you, Nick.
I got this story. I went to the library today with my pet duck.
I'm sorry, we don't.
And then this priest came up to me in the library.
We don't have time.
It's my funniest story yet.
All right, I'm sorry there wasn't enough live time. Why don't you come on the show next Wednesday?
It only takes 7 minutes to tell.
We've got 1 minute, so no. You can't even tell a seventh.
Tell it really fast.
Would you like to come onto the show next week?
I'll probably have forgotten it by then, if I'm even alive.
This is the sweetest victory of all.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for bringing calm to this situation, like you did so many times before. All right, well, I'll see you guys next week then. I'll just assume you said yes for that. Okay, well, up next... Well... Let me start from the beginning. Hi, I'm David M. Green, and welcome to Powwow. I do hope you did enjoy the show this evening. Up next on Radio Adelaide, it is Black Market Radio for all your punk, hardcore, and ska needs. But until next we meet over the airwaves in 167 hours' time, this is, and always will be, Powwow. Too funny for Radio Adelaide. Michael Princey was also here in the corner of the studio. Michael.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. Anyhow. It's just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. It's just a fool's paradise. Anyhow.
We're not recording yet, are we?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, cool.